Good morning and thank all of you for being here on this quite rainy, cold morning, but I'm so glad you're here. We do have some visitors. My good friend Nick Scheidel is here with us this morning, visiting with us, and haven't seen Nick for quite a while. Nick and I have known each other, I guess, as Nick was pretty small. His family, his mother and dad, are good friends of mine. And I'm so glad that he's visiting with us, and I hope you will get to know him before he leaves here. And we do have other visitors. The Coopers, I guess you could call them visitors, but really they're full-time visitors pretty much. And we're so glad you're here. And Carolyn, we are praying for you every time we meet, believe me. And Roxanne is here. I think she went to the restroom, but she's here. So thank all of you for being here. I want to talk to you this morning about the consummation of mankind, starting with the passing of the present order. Turn with me, if you will, turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. Now, instead of establishing a kingdom here upon earth when he returns, Jesus will deliver up to God the Father the kingdom over which he has ruled since Pentecost. On this point, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22 through 26, he says, "For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive, but each in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, after that those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers up the kingdom to God and the Father, when he has abolished all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be abolished is death." Here is reviewed, in a word, the entire period of Christ's service. His resurrection, his reign till all enemies are under his feet, the last being death, and the end and delivering up the kingdom of God to the Father. The delivering of the kingdom over which he reigns will take place at the end, which takes place at his coming. When he comes, he will conclude his reign over the kingdom. It shall be delivered unto the Father, that God may be all in all, as verse 27 of 1 Corinthians 15 tells us. If you would, turn your Bibles now to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Now, some teach that for certain ones, heaven will be here on this earth. But Peter refutes this in 2 Peter 3 and verse 10 when he said, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall be dissolved with fervent heat, and the earth and all the works that are therein shall be burned up." Now, if you would, turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Apostle Paul said in verse 1 and 2, he says, "Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, that you may not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit or a messenger or a letter as if from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come." Now, in this passage, we see the day of the Lord is clearly the day of his coming. For Paul uses the two phrases, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and the day of the Lord, as parallel, indicating that they are equal. Therefore, when Peter said the heavens will pass away with a great noise and elements therein shall be dissolved in fervent heat, and the earth and all the works that are therein shall be burned up on the day of the Lord, he is saying that those things shall transpire with the coming of Jesus Christ. In the phrase there, as a thief, Peter expresses the same thing as did the Lord when he used the term unannounced. Now, of that day, none should know. A thief doesn't send word beforehand at the time of his coming. He comes unannounced. So the Christ will come when least expected. In the day of his coming, the heavens will pass away, the elements or the heavenly bodies will be dissolved with fervent heat, and the earth and all the works that are in shall be burned up. If these things transpire in the day of his coming, there can be no earth upon which to rule or earthly Jerusalem from which to reign. Now let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3, if you would. Now the Apostle Peter concludes in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13. He said, "But according to his promises, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." Now some conclude from this that it will be the same earth renovated or made over or purified, but the word originally was from the word kainos, which Thayer defines as, and I quote, "a new, which as recently is made superior to that which it succeeds." Thayer continues by saying, he cited passages in which the word is found relative to the new covenant, such as, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, 1 Corinthians 11:25, who also made us sufficient as ministers of a new covenant, 2 Corinthians 3:6. And how about Hebrews 8 and verse 13, he says, "In that, he saith, a new covenant he hath made first from the old, but that which is becoming old and waxed age is nigh unto vanishing away." So you see, the new covenant is not the old covenant renewed. It is distinctively a new covenant made by God with different people, enacted upon better promises, and dedicated with a different sacrifice, the blood of Christ, his Son. Now, if you would, consider now the parallel use of the word new with reference to the new heaven and the new earth, which clearly settles this matter. If you would, turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 21 with me. Revelation chapter 21. Here John says in verses 1 and 2, "And I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth are passed away, and the sea is no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband." John saw in the vision exactly what Peter has taught in the simple language, the first heaven and the first earth are passed away. Peter said they were burned up. Now for the parallel. The first covenant became old, it passed away, and was followed by a new and better one. The old was not renovated, it was taken out of the way. The new is not the old made over, it is a new covenant for a new institution, the church. The first heaven and the earth pass away, they are burned up, it is not a renovation, it is a passing of one thing making way for the new. The new is new, not renovated. It is a home for the resurrected and the glorified saints. Next comes the judgment. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 9:27, "And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." The judgment of all men follows the second coming of Christ. It is sometime denied that the righteous will have to appear before God in judgment. It is true that the righteous will not be judged in the sense of being condemned, but it is abundantly taught in the Scriptures that everyone who has ever lived must appear before the great throne in that day. How do we know this? Well, look at what the Apostle Paul said about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. Paul said, "For we must all," that's every one of us, "we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Turn quickly, if you would, to Romans the 14th chapter. Romans 14 and verse 12. Paul said, "So then each one of us shall give an account of himself to God." Each one or all of us. Everybody is going to be judged. Now turn your Bibles to Matthew the 25th chapter with me, if you would, please. Matthew 25. Now, in describing the last events of the earth's history, Jesus said, beginning in verse 31, "But when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. And all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them from one another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right, 'Come, you who are blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" If you would, skip down to verse 41. "Then He will also say to those on His left, 'Depart from Me, accursed ones, into eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels.'" Now skip on down again to verse 46. "And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." Now I ask you now to turn your Bibles to Revelation, the 20th chapter, with me. Revelation chapter 20. Now the same scene is described by John as he wrote in verse 11. Chapter 20, verse 11. "And I saw a great white throne and Him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. And death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." Brethren, let me ask you, can there be no question, or there should not be any question, but this scene envisioned by John on Patmos is the identical scene pictured by Jesus under the figure of a shepherd in the flocks, as we read in Matthew 25. Here we go. The Son of Man comes. All are gathered before Him. There is a complete and final separation of the righteous from the wicked. All are judged. The righteous, those whose names were found written in the book of life, the Lamb's book of life, enter into eternal life. The wicked are cast into the lake of fire, the eternal punishment. Now, who will judge? Who's going to be the judge? Well, Christ, into whose hand God has committed all judgment, taught that it is He who shall sit as a judge. Look at John chapter 5 with me, John 5, verses 22 and 23. John 5, verse 22. "For not even the Father judges anyone," He said, "but He has given all judgment to the Son, in order that all may honor the Son even as they honor the Father." Verse 27. "And He gave Him authority to execute judgment because He is the Son of Man." I want to go back. I want you to come back with me to Matthew, the 25th chapter. I know we've read this, but it's important we go back again. Matthew chapter 25. It is He, it is Jesus, who shall declare the results of the judgment. Verse 34, Jesus said, "Come you who are blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And again in verse 41, "Depart from Me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels." Now, if you would, turn your Bibles to Acts, the 17th chapter. Acts, the 17th chapter. Now, the guarantee of that judgment is the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Therefore, everyone needs to repent and turn to God that the condemnation of the judgment may be escaped, as Paul warns in verses 30 and 31 of Acts 17. Verse 30. "Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all, everywhere, should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men, raising him from the dead. Now the standard by which all men shall be judged is the Word of God. I want to go back to Revelation 20 again, please. And read verse 12 again. And the books were opened, said John, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds. Now, brethren and friends, this is how ages will be judged. God's revelation given to the ancients who were before Moses shall judge those of that period. The Old Testament will be the standard for the Jews who lived and died under it. And the New Testament, the Word of Christ, the Gospel according to the Apostles, will be the standard for those who have lived under it. So how do we know this? Well, if you would, turn your Bibles to John chapter 12 and look at verse 48 with me. John 12, verse 48. Jesus said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my sayings hath one that judges him. The word that I spake, the same shall judge him in the last day." The Bible, the words of Jesus, that's what's going to judge us, brethren, in the last day. And that's another reason, brethren and friends, I always ask you to open your Bibles and follow along with me, because I never want you to take my word. Only the Word of God, which is what will judge us. And Paul writes of the day when God shall judge the secrets of men according to my gospel by Jesus Christ. That's Romans 2 and verse 16. It is God's judgment rendered by Jesus Christ according to the gospel, said Jesus and Paul. Now in this great judgment, God will bring to light every hidden thing of the heart, every thought, every purpose, every intent, and every disposition. That's kind of scary, isn't it? Every deed, whether good or evil, will be accounted for. And each one shall give an account for his every attitude towards the gospel of Christ. For example, turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 10. Jesus said to the 12 as he sent them out under the first or limited commission in verses 14 and 15. He said, "And whoever does not receive you nor heed your words, as you go out of that house or that city, shake off the dust of your feet. Truly I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." Look with me at Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Writing on the same theme, Paul included certain ones in his letter to the Romans, saying in Romans chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. He said, "Because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to man every man according to his deeds." Doesn't this scare you? If you're not a Christian, it sure should. Or maybe you're an unfaithful Christian. It should scare you to death. Look again, if you will, at 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 10 through 12. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up." Verse 11. "Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness?" Verse 12. "Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, on account of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat." Brethren and friends, this truly will be the end of the world in the heavens above. They will cease to exist. What a vivid and terrible description of that last day. But before all this takes place, all the people living and resurrected will be removed from the earth to the judgment seat of Christ. I'm going to take the time to kind of summarize what we talked about this morning. Now, when the saints of God are at home with the Father, revelation from God comes to a close. Look with me at one of my favorite passages, Revelation 21, verses 3 through 5. Revelation 21, verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them. And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. And he said, Write, for these words are faithful and true. Brethren and friends, God's purpose has found its consummation. It was he who created the world, and the world was plunged into moral chaos and suffering and death. Then God began to unfold his eternal plan for man's redemption. He promised that the seed of a woman should bruise the serpent's head. In the fullness of time, that seed came. The Lord Jesus of the family of Abraham, of the seed of David, was born of a woman, begotten by the Holy Spirit, hence the Son of God and the Son of Man. His conflict with Satan was unto death, and though his heel, comparatively speaking, his heel was bruised, the head of Satan was crushed. Christ rose victoriously over death. He was seated at the right hand of the Father where he rules and shall rule until the kingdom or the church is delivered up to the Father. Having ascended to the Father, he sent the Holy Spirit to guide the apostles into all truth, making known God's purpose and will towards man. And under the guidance of the Spirit, the gospel was preached to the entire civilized world of the apostles' day. That message has been preserved for us and is to be preached till the end of time. Through it, men and women are to be converted to the Lord, their lives transformed into a glorious likeness of his own character and life. The church was built upon the foundation of Christ's deity, and all who obey the gospel are added to it by God. It is to carry on his work, preaching and serving till the end. The gospel message is to retain the purity and the simplicity with which Christ endowed it with when God gave him to be its head and it to be his body. And in the beginning, when God made man and made one man and one woman, one family in and through which his will was to be done in succeeding ages, so in the beginning of this dispensation, he brought forth one church which was to glorify him. That is the Lord's church, the church of Christ, the only church you read about in the New Testament. But as Adam and Eve corrupted that pure relationship and service by listening to the voice of someone other than God, so also the church was led away from God into an apostasy by listening to the voices of men prompted by Satan and his lies. But as a seed has always remained faithful to God, so a remnant in the church has always remained loyal to the teaching of his Son. The church of today is to be made up of those individuals scattered here and there throughout the world who hold fast his message, obeying his voice and following the steps of his Son. And so the eternal conflict goes on to be brought to a full and complete consummation at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. At that time the dead will be raised, the judgment set, and the wicked cast into hell with the devil and his angels, bringing the devil and his helpers to an end. Knowing exactly what will take place in this last day should cause every person to live a righteous and godly life. And may God richly bless all who make the decision to do so. So, my friends, the judgment is coming to all. And in the words of Amos of old, Because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. So I ask each and every one of us here this morning, are you prepared to meet your God? If you're not a Christian, You cannot go into eternal life to be with the Lord and the Lamb, but you will go away into eternity with the devil and his angels to suffer for eternity without God. I ask you this morning, if you're not a Christian, won't you become one this very morning? Won't you become one this very morning? And you do that by coming forward, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, because He most assuredly is, and confess Jesus as the Son of God, and then be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins. If you've been an unfaithful Christian, you need the prayers of the church, you need to make your life right with God, you can take care of that this morning also. So please, come forward. Bill, what's our song?
Nothing but the blood.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Think about these words in there. If you need to, if we can help you in any way, come now as we stand and as we sing.